The report made 76 detailed recommendations, but they fall into four broad categories: a more collaborative requirements process, more resources to boost the competency of the acquisition workforce, smarter alignment of the Army's acquisition organizations, and better informed risk management. The recommendations are designed to address a problem the report describes in detail. Big Army acquisitions have tended to dramatically exceed their predicted cost and schedule. The authors are Gil Decker and Lou Wagner, a former Army acquisition chief and a former head of the Army Materiel Command. They found the Army wound up terminating 22 major defense acquisition programs over the last 20 years, 15 of those since just 2001. That means that every year since 1996, the Army has spent at least $1 billion a year on systems that never got completed. But to hear Army leaders tell it, that's old news. Even though we're seeing the report for the first time, they've been working to analyze and implement it since February. Army Secretary John McHugh concurred with 63 of the 76 recommendations and ordered their implementation. Heidi Hsu is the Army's acting assistant secretary for acquisition.
There's like over 30 recommendations already under implementation, right? So to us, it's a positive story. Secretary McHugh specific asked, take a look at what are the problems, what are the issues, what are the things we need to fix to go forward. Instead of looking at spilled milk, we understand the milk spilled, right? I'm trying to lap it up, but, you know, it's spilled, right? So figure out the best path forward. That's what we're focusing on.
Hsu says some of the first recommendations they acted on were around the way the Army sets requirements for the systems it wants to build and buy. It's a process that right now takes about 2 years all by itself.
What happens is the requirements folks think about what are the capability that our soldiers need, right? You dream of all the capability you would love to have. You know, this is what Santa Claus had. He's a kid who can think about everything that you want. It's a big bag of all the gifts I want on Christmas Day, okay? So that's what's happening. And the reality is, to achieve that goal, it becomes, you have immature technology that takes time to design and develop over time. Because you're pushing the envelope to achieve the capability you would like to have, with immature technologies, you have an optimistic schedule that you can't achieve. So what happened when schedule slips? Costs more money. So that's the spiral that we got into.
As one way to end that spiral, the Decker-Wagner study recommended the Army take a more collaborative approach to requirements.
Don't just write the requirement, throw it over the fence, right? But literally have a collaborative requirements process in which you get the requirements folks working with the resourcing folks, working with the acquisition folks to define something that's affordable, that's achievable. That entire process makes a whole lot of sense. That's how you should be designing and developing a program from the beginning.
She says the Army has already begun using that process on large military hardware programs like the Ground Combat Vehicle and the Joint Light Tactical Vehicle. It's a way of thinking the Army hopes will help it structure its major programs so they can actually be built on time and on budget. The idea is to place requirements into different tiers early on in the process and rank them based on importance. That'll let decision makers trade off less important capabilities in exchange for time and cost savings.
What we're doing now that's different is looking at the trade space before we say we want this capability. That may not be achievable within the time frame that we're looking for, right? If you say, I really want this capability in 5 years, well, you're probably not going to shoot for something that you can't achieve. And what are the knobs we can turn to dial down our appetite? So understanding that is absolutely tantamount to designing and developing a program that's achievable and affordable and realizable.
Other areas of the plan the Army plans to act on are better use of outside technologies so the Army can avoid duplicating the work being done by industry. That's one way, she says, they can move away from a one-size-fits-all approach to acquisition.
For very large programs, the ACAP ones, for example, we're following a process that's by law, by regulation. Our hands are a bit tied, okay? What we are doing that is different, the Army is looking at what industry has in terms of IR&D, okay, that out of their own investment. Maybe somebody out there is already developing system we don't need to spend our own investment money to develop, right? So we're leveraging that opportunity to rapidly shorten the acquisition cycle.
Hsu says they also plan to make greater use of commercial off-the-shelf technology.
For example, the processors the commercial industry is investing billions in that area. You can't compete against them, right? So you leverage what's existing out there in the industry, okay? But there are areas in which Army has to invest because nobody else is going to invest in. Ammunition, right? That's protection. The things that we worry about, protecting our soldier and allowing our soldier to accomplish its mission.
And the report recommended the Army expand the use of fixed price contracts where they're appropriate. She says that's already happening across the Defense Department, but she says they're not appropriate in a lot of cases.
In well-known mature technology, especially you're going into production, there's something you've gone through, the tech development, the EMD phase, you're heading into a production. It's fixed price. Well, you already know the design. We're trying to drive down the cost. If you're in a development phase and there's unknown technologies there, it's not realistic because nobody's going to bid that, right?
There are 13 recommendations the Army decided not to implement. The service also released a memo yesterday detailing its rationale for rejecting those recommendations, along with its plan for acting on the ones it decided to adopt. Tom Hawley, the Deputy Undersecretary of the Army, has been charged with leading the reforms. He says overall the report gives them a good framework for tackling the Army's longstanding acquisition problems. He says the process, though, will be a marathon, not a sprint. And even in an environment where the entire government, DOD included, is looking for cost savings, he says the Army Secretary is not concerned, first and foremost, with saving money in the process.
It's not that he wants to spend more money. It's not that he doesn't care about saving money. He does, but his focus is on making the system work better. You know, this is a hugely complex enterprise. We're spending a lot of taxpayers' money, and we need to be fair to industry as well, because they're putting a lot of money into things, and too often we don't get the funding, or funding starts and stops. And so it takes continuous examination and leadership by all hands to make sure the system works. It's just not something that you can put out in the directive and forget about it. Takes continuous leadership and emphasis, and that's what the Secretary of the Army will provide with our help.
For the action items the Army hasn't already begun working on, Secretary McHugh has given the service's leadership specific deadlines to articulate a way forward. They've been told to report back to him within 3 months. In Washington, Jared Serbu, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.